It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today in the book of Ephesians, I'd like for us to look at verse 16. Let's go back and read, starting with verse 10. Paul the Apostle is getting ready to end this epistle that he's written to the church at Ephesus. And he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And whether we realize it or not, the Lord, through Paul the Apostle here, is giving us information as to how that we can have a victorious Christian life, that we need to take advantage of everything that God has offered us as saved people. He's offered us things that would help us to be a success in the Christian life, that life that we live by the faith of the Son of God, that life that Jesus Christ has given us, so that one day we're going to be in heaven, we'll be with him. And I believe that day is approaching when he's going to say, "Come up hither," and we'll be with him forever. Now, in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Above all," Paul speaking now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Well, notice this. Notice the verse that says, "above all, taking the shield of faith." I believe that according to the scriptures here, that the shield of faith is a defense. It's not above all other defenses of the soldier. Now, once again, during Paul's day, the soldier, during his day and his time, the soldier had certain articles of armor that was placed upon him, and he was given, once again, the shield. The shield as a defense is not above all other defenses of the soldier or of more importance or value. But generally, as a soldier holds his shield to defend himself, it forms a protection over every part of the body because it can be turned in every direction. Well, the idea for the saved person is that as the shield covered or protected the other parts of the armor of the soldier, so faith is of similar importance in the Christian virtues. Before a shield can be used, it must be taken. The verse says, "above all, taking the shield of faith." You see, as long as the soldier had his shield, this is the soldier that went into the battlefield, as long as he had his shield, he felt secure. And as long as a Christian has faith, he is safe. It comes to his aid in every attack that's made on him, and no matter from what quarter, from wherever it comes from. See, it is the defense and guardian of every other Christian grace. It secures the protection which the Christian needs in the whole of the spiritual war. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith as a Christian increases as we hear and read, and that means take, the word of God. Increased faith on our part becomes a shield against the heresies advocated by the heretics who hold themselves out to be scholars of the Bible. There's many of those people around who claim to be scholars who are holding up the word of God, but there are those who really trample on the word of God, and they do not tell the truth they are heretics. Well, we often think of faith when we read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We see, I've used this verse many times to relate to an unsaved person how a person is saved. Well, sometimes we forget that the verse speaks to the saved as well as to the unsaved. You see, for the saved, it's a reminder of how we are saved. We are reminded of God's grace in giving us salvation, and that we have done nothing to be saved. It says that not of yourselves. Well, let me say something that you may not have seen in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Salvation is by God's grace through His faith, or, in other words, His faithfulness. We've done nothing to be saved. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation doesn't come from us. It is not of ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 leaves no doubt as to our part of being saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 says that. Well, since we've been saved by God's grace through His faith or His faithfulness, our realization should be not only that we are saved by God and are kept by God, John 17 tells us that, but that also He is our shield of protection. Just as that soldier goes into the battlefield who has a shield, every Christian needs a shield, the faith that God has given us through His faithfulness. Notice Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 5. It says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise ye princes, and anoint the shield. Well, the Bible says that the shield is to be anointed. What does that mean? Well, this means that is to prepare for battle. The Septuagint says, prepare shields. In other words, shields were instruments of defense prepared to ward off the spears and arrows of an enemy in battle. Well, the physical shield is what the soldier uses for protection. But my shield, God is my protection. Psalm 7:10, verse 10 says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Psalm 59 and verse 9, because of His strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Psalm 89 and verse 18, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. And one other verse I'd like to read to you, Psalm 94 and verse 22, it says, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. When we get to a point in our lives as saved people, and we don't think that, you know, there's no hope, that we've been beaten down, that the world has really overcome us, trying to overcome us, and it seems like we can't do anything else, we need to look to the Lord and realize that He is our defense. He is the God. He is the only God. He is the rock of my refuge. Well, notice it says that we're to take on the shield, and it goes on to say in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us why. It says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Or it could be looked at as of the wicked one. I've heard that preached, and I've seen, I have no problem of saying that. We quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And of course, that's the devil. Well, the word quench means to put out. The fiery darts that were used in war in Paul's time were small, slender pieces of cane, which were filled with combustible materials and set on fire. Other darts would have around them some combustible material that was set on fire and then shot slowly against an enemy, against the person. Well, the object was to make the arrow, the dart, fastened to the body and increase the danger of burning. Well, by the fiery darts of the wicked, Paul probably refers to temptations, suggestions of evil, and excitements of sin by the wicked one himself, our adversary, Satan. In regard to blasphemous thoughts, unbelief, sudden temptations to do wrong, or thoughts that wound and torment the soul, we can recognize, we witness the darts of the devil that can come suddenly, like arrows shot from a bow. It can happen quickly. They come from unexpected areas, like arrows shot suddenly from an enemy in ambush. They pierce and penetrate and torment the soul as arrows would that are on fire. And then I notice also that they set the soul on fire and stir up the worst passions, as fiery darts do a ship or camp against which they are sent. Well, the only way to meet them is by the shield of faith, by confidence in God, and by relying on His gracious promises and aid. It's not by our own strength. And if we have not faith in God, we are wholly defenseless. When struck by an arrow of doubt, sinful thoughts, temptations, and so forth, we should have the shield that we can turn in any direction. And the shield of God Himself is the shield that completely protects. I would say to you today, Christian, you need to place your complete trust in God. Oh, I know that you've trusted Him to save you. I know that you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart. I know that you realize that you're on your way to heaven. Sometimes you may not even realize that. It may get to a point where you are so beaten down that you really don't understand what's going on around you. That's when you need to take God at His word that He is our shield, that He is our protection, that He's the one who has not only been the one who is able to save us, but He's also the one who's able to keep us saved. We're not left alone in this life, but we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield that's able to protect us in the onslaughts of the devil when he comes at us. Now, Christian, you need to place your complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for your salvation, but for your life here while you're on this earth. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's coming back in the clouds, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those people who have gone on before, and we will be forever, from that point on, with our Lord and Savior. We no longer have to have the faith of looking and saying, Lord, I believe you're coming. We no longer have to say that or have the faith that we have now, because our faith becomes sight, because we are seeing personally our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to see our Heavenly Father, the one who sent Jesus Christ into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. We're going to see our Heavenly Father who loved the world so much, and that's us, that's people. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life, would not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder today, have you trusted Him? If you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to fall on your face now and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm turning to you now, Lord. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I can't make it on my own, and I'm trusting you to save me because you died on the cross for me, you were buried, and you rose from the grave on that third day. I believe you, and I'm trusting you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.